So sure, here I am. And we're going to take a look at being free here this morning. We're going to be in John chapter 8. Are you the one running the verses? Oh, Brother Steve, all right. John chapter 8, and we'll start in verse 31. John chapter 8, verse 31. Talk about being free. You know, as you probably, most of you know, Mom and Dad went to an assisted living facility, and Dad's struggling big time with it, and so I was on the phone with him this week, and on the way home from work, and talking to him, and he's telling me he's a prisoner in there, and he has no more freedoms, and I tried to tell him the freedom he's after is temporary, because let's face it, when we all die, this physical freedom that we have in this country or this world comes to an end. It's over. It's gone. We're no longer here. But the freedom that my dad needs and so many other people in the world. Just think of the people in Greenville. How many people in Greenville need to be set free? They need the spiritual freedom that only comes through Jesus Christ. They won't find it any other place. I mean, I'm not too concerned about... I enjoy my freedoms just like all of you do. I mean, I'm thankful for them, that the physical freedoms that we have today in this land, even though they're eroding day by day. But I'm far more thankful that I've been set free, and we have freedom forevermore through Jesus Christ when you know him. So I want to talk about being set free here today, this morning. It won't be long. We'll be done, but this is what led to getting a phone call last night, and then I got to thinking about the conversation with Dad, and I thought, well, we'll talk about freedom today, because there's two types of freedom. There's the physical freedom we have, and then there's spiritual freedom, and I'll trade that physical freedom any day for spiritual freedom. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll read John chapter 8, starting in verse 31. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this morning. We just thankful, Father, that we have this opportunity just to gather together as your children, open your word, and just hear what you would have for us today, Father, and just be reminded of what Christ has done for us and the benefits that come along with that. Father, we thank you that Christ has set us free. We were enslaved by Satan, chained to sin. We had no choice. We're born that way, Father, and you knew that, and you provided a way, and that way is Jesus Christ, and we're thankful for that, Father, and I just pray that if anybody has not been set free by Christ, that today would be that day, Father. Today would be the day of their salvation, and they'd be removed from the darkness into the light, and they would see what Christ has done for them, Father, and they would accept that free gift of salvation. I just ask that you have your will and way here today. And we also, Father, we think of Brother Jim and our pastor that are not feeling well today, and their heart's desire is to be here with us, but they're not. So I ask that you give them the strength and help they need, Father, heal their bodies, encourage their hearts, bless their day today, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'm only going to read 31 through 36. And then we'll get on with it. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. And in verse 36, he says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And as I think of Dad and a host of people here in Greenville, well, let's face it, the majority of the people here in Greenville are not saved. I don't know what the percentage is that are saved here in Greenville, but I think it's a very small percentage if you go by the total population of Greenville. And most of those people in Greenville, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. They need to be freed. Those people need to be freed. Just like before we accepted Christ, we all needed to be free. Twice there in those verses we read, Christ talks about being free. Salvation, when you accept Christ as your Savior, and I realize we're live streaming, and there might be some people watching this morning or later on that have never accepted Christ. So if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you are not free. Salvation, though, does make us free to many things. It makes us free to many things. And I think a lot of times we, as that's our nature, we take all these benefits, I guess you could call them, of being saved for granted. I don't think of them often enough. And I'd imagine that's true for most people. I mean, tomorrow morning, what, the alarm clock goes off and off to work we go, right? You ladies get up and you got, I know my wife on Mondays is her main work day, the laundry, the house, and whatever. I know we have responsibilities and we have to take care of those, but we need to take more time to be thankful for what Christ has done for us when he set us free. So I wrote down a few points here. Salvation makes us free to many things. But before I list number one is salvation makes us free from the curse of the law. But before I get there, isn't that not what Jesus Christ was doing to Nicodemus when he told him he must be born again? Wasn't he trying to set him free? And isn't that what Jesus did to the woman at the well when he stopped to talk to her? He was trying to set her free. I thought I had three. Wrote down. Oh, yeah, the Philippian jailer. Isn't that what he needed to be, was set free? And there's many more examples in the Bible, but I just thought of those three and I jotted them down. But that was the whole point. When Jesus was talking to the woman at the well and talking to Nicodemus, he's seen they weren't free by no means. And there was a point in our lives where we weren't free either. I mean, we were born into sin and we were not free. And Christ made it possible for us to be free. And he made it possible for you to be free if you'd only trust in him. But number one, salvation makes us free from the curse of the law. If we go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Galatians 3:13. Galatians 3:13. Let's start in verse 10. Let's do that. Sorry. Okay, we'll start in 10 and read down through 13. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. If you know Christ as your Savior, you're no longer under the law. No longer under the law. It's grace that has saved us. We live by faith, not by words that are wrote down. Well, we live by words that are wrote down. Let me clarify that. We don't try to keep the law to get to heaven, because we can't. Nobody can. So we've been set free from the curse of that law. Well, James 2:10, let's go there. James 2:10, we all know it. It says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. You're guilty of the whole law. If you break one little point, and every one of us in here have broken that law, one time or another. One time or another. Let's go to one more on that. Let's go to Romans 6:14. Let's do that one. Romans 6:14. It says right here, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Sin shall not have dominion over any one of us. Sin has no power over any one of us that know Christ as our Savior. But just thinking of that, this ain't part of the message, but just thinking of that, sin has no power over it. Then why is it there's times that we sin? You ever think about that? That sin has no power over any of us. But yet there's times we go back. And I've got in my notes someplace, I'm going to talk about putting the shackles back on. You know, when Christ sets us free, we were chained to that sin. But when he sets us free, he takes the shackles off. And we could probably all, that have been, all of us with gray hair anyway, we could all think back through the years of people who used to sit in church right here or a different church that you came from and know of people that are no longer there because they went back and put the shackles of sin back on when it has no power over them, has no power over them. So number one, salvation makes us free from that curse of the law. We that are saved are under grace, not the law. In Christ, the believer finds true liberty. He finds true freedom. And that's what my dad is looking for, you see. He's looking for freedom, but he doesn't realize it's not the physical freedom that he should be desiring or should be going after. It's that spiritual freedom that is far greater than any physical freedom. You know, so many other people out there, let's just say Greenville right now, so many people in Greenville, they desire their physical freedom more than anything else. And it shouldn't be that way. Those people don't understand because they're still in darkness. But what they should be desiring is the freedom that Christ offers. And they just don't understand that right now. Number two, salvation makes us free from the guilt of sin. You know, there's times, every now and then, I'll be laying in bed and I can think of something. Something will come to my mind that I did years ago or whenever that I don't want to be reminded of. I'm sure that's probably true with most of us, if not all of us. But then I quickly remember, you know, Christ doesn't remember those sins anymore. But Satan, he'll have us to think about those things. He'll want to discourage us with them. And if we're not careful, we can get discouraged by the things we've done in the past. Nobody in here can raise their hand and say they've never made a mistake. They wish they had done something different. I mean, we've all been in that boat. But there's just sometimes at night when I'm laying in bed, something will come to my mind, and I'm thinking, oh, why am I thinking of that? But then I remember Christ doesn't even remember it anymore. He's totally forgiven me of it, and he's forgot it. And that's why I got on here. Salvation makes us free from the guilt of sin. You know, well, where's that at? Acts chapter 7. Let's go to Acts chapter 7 real quick. This just came to me here. Yeah, Acts chapter 7. Well, backing up, okay, chapter 7 is where they, right here at the end of chapter 7 is where they stoned Stephen. But let me read a verse to you here. Okay, they stoned Stephen. I want to see where they hold, Okay, verse 58, chapter 7, verse 58, and it says, and cast him out of the city, that would be Stephen, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Whose name was Saul. And then chapter 8, verse 1, it says, and Saul was consenting unto his death, And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Okay, so Saul, who we all know as Paul, is a great apostle. He did so many wonderful things. He's just a great, great apostle. But yet he was freed from the guilt of his sin. You ever think about throughout his life after he was saved, were those things coming back to his mind? I mean, he did some awful things. They took Stephen out of the city, and he held their coats and said, yeah, go ahead, stone the man, kill him. I'll make sure your coats are safe. And then he went around persecuting the Lord's church. What do you think was going through his mind sometimes when he laid his head on the pillow at night? Do you think he ever thought of those things? Yeah, I think there was times those thoughts came back to his mind, but then he realized that the Lord forgave him and forgot them. Forgave them just like he has done for each one of us and just like he'll do for you if you'll accept him as your Savior. Psalm 103:12. Psalm 103:12. Brother Steve probably get there before I will. 103:12. And it says right here, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And you know, if you're out there watching and you don't know Christ as your Savior, he'll do that for you too. He'll do that for you too, no matter what you've done. I can guarantee you haven't done anything worse than Saul did. Sin is sin, and it doesn't, you know, I hate to put a degree on it, but I'm talking about taking a man out of the city and stoning him to death. Did Saul do that? No, but he was right there cheering him on. He was right there cheering him on. The Lord forgets our sins. He promises to. Let's go to Hebrews 8:12. Hebrews 8:12 says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. He was merciful to all of our unrighteousness before we accepted him as Savior. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Yeah, we can lay our head on the pillow at night and we can think of things we've done that we're not proud of and that we know we shouldn't have done. Because Satan wants us to dwell on those things, to get our mind off the Lord and get our guilt going and get us discouraged so we don't do anything for the Lord anymore. But then all we have to do is remember, the Lord doesn't remember those. He doesn't even know what we're talking about anymore. They're gone. So salvation makes us free from the guilt of sin. We don't need to go back down that road, even though Satan would want us to go back down that road. We have been freed. And so when Jesus says he'll make us free indeed, he's talking totally. He's talking the whole thing. There's not one part of our lives that has not been set free. Not been set free. That's the freedom that these people in Greenville and surrounding areas and throughout the world, that's the freedom that they need. It's not, I'm free to do what I want today and tomorrow and whatever. That's not the freedom that matters. I mean, I enjoy it, don't get me wrong, like I said, but that's not the freedom that matters. What matters is what comes after this life. That's what matters. Oh, let's see where we're at here. Our sin has been put on Christ. You see, it's not just that it's forgotten about. Somebody had to pay for that, though. And once it's paid for, then it's forgotten, right? If you take out a loan and you pay that loan back, it's all forgotten. It's all over with. It's done with. I've had several loans in my life, and after they've been paid off, I've never had the bank bring them up again. they're over with. That's why Christ said that's why the Lord said he forget about it. Never remember it anymore because it's paid for. But we didn't pay for it. We didn't pay for it. Christ paid for it. You know, if you're out there watching today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, he paid for your sins too. But you're going to have to ask him for his forgiveness and salvation. He's not going to just thrust it upon you. It's not how it works. I'm a sinner delivered from that penalty of sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21, and we are really going to have to hurry, I guess. 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says right here, "For he hath made him," that'd be Jesus Christ, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So there you have it right there. We are freed from the guilt of sin. We are freed from the guilt of sin, but we did nothing for that freedom. It was Christ who gave us that freedom. It was Christ who took our sins upon himself, paid that debt, so we could be free. Number three, salvation makes us free from the dominion of sin. Romans 6:14. It says right there, "For sin shall not have dominion. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law." We're back to that again. We've been freed from that, but under grace. We're under grace. And that sin has no dominion over us. I told you about being shackled to sin. You know, those shackles were broke, and we can walk away from them. But so many times, Christians, saved people, child of God, we'll go back and try to put those shackles back on, whether it be whether they think permanently or it's just a moment of time. I don't know what it is, really. But when we sin, we put the shackles back on. But yet Christ broke those shackles. Sin has no power over us. Salvation makes us free from the dominion of sin. You know, Jesus is the one that breaks the chains. We've already looked at Romans 6:14. We're right there, 18. Let's go read verse 18. "Being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness." Being made free. When Jesus said he'll make us free indeed, we've been made free from sin. And now we should yield our members to righteousness. We should. That's what we should do today, throughout this day. That's what we should do throughout Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, every day. Because sin doesn't have any power over us. Doesn't have any power over us. How many times have you heard of a great preacher fall into sin and is no longer preaching the Word of God? And I mean, use a preacher because they're the ones on the news, right? I fall into sin and no longer standing up here preaching the Word of God. They're not going to put that on the news. But you hear about famous preachers. It's because they've went back. They were freed from sin, but they went back and put the shackles back on. And we do, if we're not careful, we can do the exact same thing. You say, not me. I say, yes, you. Every one of us. If we don't stay in the Word of God, like Brother Steve was talking about in Sunday school, if we don't stay in the Word of God, that can happen to any one of us at any time, any day. I don't care who you are or who I am. Salvation makes us free from that power of sin. Number four, salvation makes us free from the power of darkness. Salvation makes us free from the power of darkness. Let's go to Colossians 1:13. Colossians 1:13, it says here, who hath delivered us, that'd be you and me, from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. That the darkness no longer has an effect on you and me, on those of us who know Christ. And you know as well as I do, the majority of the people in Greenville love their darkness, right? They do. John 3:19, let's take a look at that. They love their darkness. John 3:19. Well, I don't know. It seems how this is Sunday morning. Let's back up to 16. And we'll read through 20. 16 through 20. Let's do that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And then verse 19, it says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. That's the majority of the people in Greenville right now, is they love their darkness. They have not been set free from the power of darkness in their lives. And salvation will do that. Christ will do that. If you've never been born again, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, that power of darkness has a hold of you, and the only way out is through Jesus Christ, the light that is Jesus Christ. In John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He is the only way to freedom. He is the only way. Okay, we better hurry along now. So many people are under the power of Satan. You know, the drugs, the alcohol, the perversion, and so on. It's trapped them. It's enslaved them. Actually, they have no control over it, because Satan can do whatever he wants with a child of his. And if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you are a child of Satan's. And he can do whatever he wants with you. I think we'll get on with number 5. Salvation makes us free from the fear of man. Salvation makes us free from the fear of man. You know, the tattoos and the body piercings and just the weird things people do today. They're weird to me. Why do they do that? We live in a monkey-see-monkey-do type of world, you know, and I think they do that because they fear. They fear those people, and they don't want to draw attention to themselves, so they want to look like them. But when you accept Christ as your Savior, it sets you free from the fear of man. People might mock that. They might say, no, that's not why they do it. I believe that's why they do it. Because nobody in their right mind is going to cover their body in tattoos and a zillion different rings hanging off of them. Not in their right mind. They do it because they're afraid of people like that, and they want to blend in and not draw any attention to themselves. I ain't got no problem telling you how I think it is, but I believe they're afraid, and that's why they do it. But salvation sets us free from the fear of man. Hebrews 13:6. Let's take a look at that one real quick. But, you know, before I read Hebrews 13:6, let me make it clear. You could have tattoos 100% on your body if you wanted to, and you could have rings hanging off you all over the place, dragging on the ground if you want to, but you can still be saved. You can still be saved. Those things do not stop a person from going to heaven. you, after you're saved, you're going to regret what you have on you. But that does not prevent anybody from accepting Christ as their Savior. I just want to make that clear. Hebrews 13:6 says, so that we may boldly say that the Lord is my helper and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Isn't that why sometimes when the Holy Spirit's leading us to say a word for him, say a word for him and we hesitate because maybe we're just a little afraid what that person might say to us, how they might treat us, how they might act. I mean, I know there's times that I'm out there pumping gas and all of a sudden you're just convicted to go over there and share the Lord with this person and you hesitate. And am I the only one that happens to? I'm going to say probably not, but I'm the only one I can say for sure it happens to. So that salvation makes us free from the fear of man. And I have many more verses there, but we haven't got time. So number six, salvation makes us free from the sting of death. And I'm thankful for that. You know, a lot of people are afraid to die. I don't think there's one person in this room that knows Christ as their Savior that's afraid to die. You kind of look forward to it, don't you? I mean, you're not hurrying to get there. I'm not trying to speed things up. But I kind of look forward to that day. Because as soon as I die, I am in the presence of Christ. I mean, don't you look forward to that? I do. I'm sure you do too. But salvation makes us free from the sting of death. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, where are we at? Hebrews. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:55. Six and seven. Let's do that. Oh, death, where is thy sting? You see that question mark? Hey, where's it at? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Another question mark. Hey, where's your victory, death or grave? And if we go to verse 50, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. We already covered the law. We're not under the law, right? And we've been freed from sin. So the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But in verse 57, it says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The sting of death has no effect on us. And it will have no effect on you either if you know Christ as your Savior. We're out of time here. Number seven, and one day salvation will make us free from this present evil world. Salvation will make us free from this present evil world. I'm just going to close. I'm going to close with Ephesians 2:8. Let's do that. For the people who don't know Christ as their Savior. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, if anyone's in here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, Ephesians 2:8 is a wonderful verse. Every time we go to the shack, they have a Bible on the counter there. And he don't mind if you open it up to whatever verse you want to and leave it there. So I always open it up to Ephesians 2:8. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, it's God's grace that saves us. There's nothing you can do to earn it. There's nothing you can do to secure it. It's strictly God's grace. It's all been paid for. All we have to do is accept it. All we have to do is accept it. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, today could be the day of your salvation. We don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow. You could be set free today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this day. We thank you, Father, that we've had this time to open your word during Sunday school and the service here today. And Father, we thank you that we have your word to open, how you've preserved it for each one of us, Father. We're so thankful for that. We're thankful for the freedom that only comes through Jesus Christ. And what all that entails, Father, is he's set us free indeed, just as he said he would. And Father, just help us to relay that message to those around us, our neighbors, our co-workers, our friends, our family members. And Father, help them to see their need for spiritual freedom that only comes through Jesus Christ. Just ask that you continue to bless the remainder of this service, Father, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.